early yesterday morning. Alec, good afternoon.
Yes, Miles, how are you?
Not so bad at all, Alec. I'm saying you were up early yesterday morning with the feet up watching the New Zealand All Blacks taking on the British and Irish Lions. 30 points to the All Blacks, 15 to the British and Irish Lions. Is that a fair reflection of what you saw yesterday?
I think in the overall context of the game, Miles, certainly you'd say that if you were to look at the statistics, both territory and possession, I think it was around about the 62-38. So, you know, you could say almost two-thirds, give or take a few percentage points. And yes, there was opportunities that the Lions could have scored from, and they didn't, especially in the first 2 minutes, whenever they had that break by Jonathan Davis. And Murray was there, but unfortunately, he didn't have any support. And the All Blacks, as was pointed out, I think, in the aftermatch when they were talking, it's the way they seem to be able to scramble back and get so many players back, even though the defence has been breached. And that was a big secret of them. There was a time when Elliot Daly looked as if he might have got over in the corner, had he been given a pass a bit quicker. You know, and then in the second half at the start, I think it was about 43 minutes, that time there was another break by Davis. Liam Williams again was only 5 metres from the line. But again, the All Blacks managed to get more numbers back to breakdown whenever the Lions were going forward, you know, and that was a great opportunity again. And then if you compare that with the tries that the All Blacks scored, you know, the top penalty, people not standing sleeping, but people not switched on. There's Taylor, the Cody Taylor, taking an absolute gem of a pass right down at his ankles for a hooker. I mean, it just shows you the ball skills that the New Zealanders have. Then there was a time whenever Liam Williams, probably the only thing he did wrong in the game, when the ball dropped and the young winger picked it up and just completely outpaced whoever, I think it was Elliot Daly. No, so they had opportunities and they didn't miss them. The Lions had a couple of opportunities. Having said that, you know, when you looked at the game overall, the All Blacks just had too much to offer, especially in the front five, where, you know, the scrum creaked a bit, which led to that try the time that Kieran Reid made that brilliant pickup. And, you know, the lineout was safe and secure, but at no stage were they in a position to maybe to drive the ball forward in the lineout, to have a rolling ball. And Vitalik and these New Zealanders just looked to be good. It was a great opportunity, maybe, as I say, had they scored earlier on. But you just felt that the All Blacks had something to offer, and possibly Reece Webb's try at the end, which was 7 points, maybe give the scoreline a wee bit of a flattering look, Miles. But generally speaking, I think much as you would love to say that the Lions were unlucky, you have to be honest about the fact and say that the better team won easily.
Is it a case, Alec, that, you know, the All Blacks play together, have been playing for many a year, obviously, but many of them have many caps, up to 100 caps, and that the Lions, that actual team, probably never played together before? Is that a big factor?
Well, it is one of these factors that the people talk about, you know, the time they've been together. And I know at the beginning of the tour there was a talk about jet lag and all, but they have been, you know, they've been out there now for over 3 weeks. And certainly that you would have thought that the team that was going to play, the team that played on Saturday, that Gatlin would have had an idea and the combinations would have been used. It's a strange one, Miles. I mean, the Lions tours are a unique situation, you know, to get players from four different international countries playing together. You know, it's one of the great things in sport. But, you know, if you look back over the successful sides, you know, the 71, John Dawes is 71 team, McBride 74 team. I mean, they didn't have the number of players that they have now. They were playing 24 and 28 games of rugby. Possibly they had more time to get together, but under the demands now of professional rugby and the amount of games that are played, you know, there's only a certain amount of time allocated to the Lions. But, you know, at the end of the day, Miles, if you take it, this is supposed to be the cream of the Northern Hemisphere rugby, well, as far as the Six Nations goes. And when you looked at the players that were selected, there might have been question marks about a few. But generally speaking, if you were picking the best 15 players, you have to say, you know, that surely they were capable of doing a lot better than that. You know, one could turn around and say, you know, the Irish team went out to Chicago, having not been together for quite a while. at the Six Nations, and they only had 3 or 4 days preparation, and they managed to beat the All Blacks.
Yeah, I suppose you could turn it that way.
Albeit the Irish team, of course, knew each other better, but nevertheless, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, the amount of talent there yesterday, the worst chances to the Lions, they didn't take them. Okay, the All Blacks are clinical in what they do, and it's just a pity from the series and from the spectators' point of view that have gone out. You know, if the Lions had managed to even sneak a victory yesterday, it would have thrown the series wide open, because it's going to take a lot from the Lions' smiles to win the next two games.
Yeah. Let's look at the two tries that New Zealand scored, or two of the tries they scored. One of them was, when, as you mentioned, when the Lions switched off a penalty, not paying full attention. And similarly, I suppose, the second try came from the penalty at the scrum. So if you took that out of the equation, maybe the All Blacks weren't that clinical, and therefore there wouldn't have been that much difference in the scores.
No, there's that to it, and if you add to what we were talking about earlier, you know, that the Lions had opportunities on the second minute, and then after half-time, you know, that those opportunities weren't taken. But somehow, the All Blacks have this ability just to score tries out of nothing. And when I say out of nothing, I mean the tap penalty and things. But this is something that they do instinctively, and it seems to be part of their DNA, that they just seem to... You kick the ball loosely to them. And the great thing that they have, Miles, is, as I said to you before, this ability to get back, and as they call it, scramble whenever they're under pressure. But then when they break out from defence... The difference yesterday was if the All Blacks had made that break in the first 3 minutes and had made the break that Williams made 3 or 4 minutes after half time, Liam Williams wouldn't have been going to ground or getting tackled. He would have been passing a support player. And that's the big thing if you watch for the All Blacks. There's men running off the ball all the time, and this is their great secret.
Is that that's clearly the difference between the two teams, the ability to get into the tackle, and you're looking at the man that's tackled, and the next thing, there's another man away with the ball. It's their ability to offload in very tight situations, and they have a man on the shoulder at all times.
They have, and, you know, if you notice at times too, I mean, it's not all sort of, you know, it's really 1 to 15, because their front five are just as good with the ball in hands as any. But you notice a lot of times, Miles, they talk this new expression that's come into rugby, it's the blind pass. You know, Aaron Smith, the scrum half, or Barrett, or Scruton, anybody like that there, when they sometimes make a break, they just flick the ball inside. They're actually eyeing up the player they're running at, but they flick the ball inside knowing there's somebody there.
Yep.
And this is something which is very, very hard to defend against, because when you see a guy coming at you and he's looking you straight in the eyes and all of a sudden the ball's gone left or gone right, you know, you're immediately on the wrong foot to try and even defend it. That's one of the abilities they have. They know and they trust each other, and they know each other whenever the ball is passed inside, there'll be somebody there.
Yeah, I suppose the Northern Hemisphere don't play that type of game, and maybe that's where playing together would help. If that was their philosophy, that you really have to play together, maybe more so than training together, to get that cohesion.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple of examples, Miles, not to the extent of the All Blacks. But, you know, if you think back to maybe two years ago, Gregor Townsend at Glasgow, I mean, he produced this offloading game. And I remember being up at that game at the Kingspan whenever they were playing Munster in the Pro 12 final. And, I mean, the first half, I mean, Glasgow were absolutely superb. I think it was 4 tries he scored against Munster. The game was over at half-time, and you don't often say that when you're playing against Munster. Similarly, if you look at Pat Lamb, of course, we have to put, you know, we know where his background is from. Pat Lamb, look what he did with the Connacht side, and look how Connacht were able to beat Leinster last year in that Pro 12 final, purely and simply by their offloading game. Every player in the Connacht side was comfortable on the ball. We remarked this so often. Connacht used to open the ball from their own 22, backs, forwards, interpassing, interchanging, and you know, it just shows you what can be done. But again, of course, the thing is that they have more time to get together, and that's the one thing. So, you know, this is where when you're coach of the Lions, and there's enough coaches there, they got to get a game plan, Miles, that the players are comfortable with. And, you know, this worn ball, or whatever we want to call it, it's all very well players driving in, making yards and all, but when you're up against a team like the New Zealanders and a back row like the New Zealanders who are over the ball quicker than you even hit the ground, it's very, very difficult.
So I want to put you as manager of the British and Irish Lions. What would be your game plan for this weekend?
Well, I'm very interested to see the team that they pick. Mines, they play the Hurricanes and Wellington. At least they not have to move now between Tuesday and Saturday. That, you know, from up they're down now, Wellington, they'll play that game on Tuesday, and they'll also play the game, the second test matches in Wellington. So that means there's no travel. So that means they should have an extra day to get ready for it. It's an interesting side that Gatlin has picked. I mean, Warburton's not on the bench, which makes me wonder, is he really going to pick Warburton next Saturday, or is he going to go on the bench again? Because I would have thought that if he was going to take part, he surely would have needed some game time. We'll find out, no doubt, at times. You know, there's a chance now for a few players to hold their hands up. Robbie Henshaw, who has been a wee bit disappointing and possibly hasn't played in the proper games. But nevertheless, I mean, if anything happened in the centre combination, he wants to hold his hand up in this game against the Hurricanes, because there's still two test matches left and there still could be injuries. CJ Stander, who I thought was very unlucky not to be on the bench instead of Warburton, he has got an opportunity again to put his hand up. Ian Henderson, who had a very, very good game last week along with Courtney Lewis, both of them are playing this game on Tuesday, and you know they must. Either one of them must be thinking of a bench, because I honestly think Alan Wynne-Jones won't be back playing again. Atoji possibly will start in that one, but I think Wynne-Jones just is off the pace, and possibly they need some aggression like Laws and Henderson have both done well. Stephen Ferris is out in New Zealand, of course, and slight bias like myself, but I think if Best can produce a game on Tuesday, if he gets every line out throw right on Tuesday, plays with the dynamism and he can on the loose, he's the best scrummager of the hookers out there. Who knows, he might make the team, but he may at least get on the bench, because they need stability there. There's also Dan Cole and Joe Martyr who will be propping along with him, and those three boys have a great opportunity. If they can manage to put the Hurricanes front row back a few yards and a few scrums, then I think the Lions management are going to have to sit up and take notice. And again, the back three, George North getting an opportunity, but he really is a shadow, or looks a shadow, of the player that took over Australia 4 years ago. So there's a lot to play for, Miles, and I think one of the things that Gatlin hopefully will say is that, you know, there's nobody nailed on at the moment for next Saturday, and it's up to the guys on Tuesday to give him a lot of selection headaches. And that, you know, you never can tell, because the guys who played on Saturday and who are not playing on Tuesday, they have no more midweek games to play, so that's how it is. But injuries could take its toll, but I'd just like to see a few more dynamic people. Atoji now did really well. Courtney Laws is a big aggressive guy. Henderson's a big aggressive guy. Best is very dynamic on the ground, and that was something which was lacking, and which I noticed Clive Woodward was talking about, that the physicality that was talked about was missing.
How do you think the British and Irish Lions should approach this game on Saturday? I've read where they've talked that perhaps the best way for the British and Irish Lions to win is to close the game down as much as possible, not play at the pace that the All Blacks want to play at. Therefore, it's trying to prevent them offloading and so on. But maybe that's not doable. Maybe they tried that on Saturday and just weren't able to do it.
Well, I think the thing is, Mike, is that the idea is good in principle, but if you've only got 38% of the ball, it's very, very difficult to control the pace of the game. I seen, and this was the problem, that there were fits and starts when the Lions did well, even with territory, but I mean, it's controlling the ball. I mean, the All Blacks, as I say, had more of the ball. Pardon me, they looked dangerous with the ball, and they just, generally speaking, were much more clinical. And to try and stop a side like New Zealand not scoring is well nigh impossible, because one drop pass, one misplaced kick, and all of a sudden you could find yourself 14 points down. And that's the big thing that I think is the problem. They did show, I mean, it's interesting that, I mean, what we haven't mentioned, Miles, and we should do, that try was initiated by Liam Williams, and a tremendous piece of running by the fullback. I mean, they're saying now that's one of the best tries they've seen in the Lions tour, and certainly one couldn't argue. It's not often you see a full-length try. Had the New Zealanders scored that try, would have been raving about it. And it just showed you what they were capable of doing, playing with a bit of flair. But again, the key to that was that, you know, Davis backed up. Davis was there for Williams. Daly was outside him. Williams was still there to take the inside pass from Williams. And then Sean O'Brien had ran nearly 80 yards to get on the shoulder of Williams, because had O'Brien not been there, Williams would have been tackled and probably the ball been cleared. So there was a clear example there that if you actually follow the ball and get people in support, it can happen.
It certainly can. I was just looking at Sean O'Brien. When Williams broke out from defence, having collected the ball, O'Brien was back, and he actually, as far as I could see, turned his back and prevented an All Black, you know, following Williams at that stage. And O'Brien took off then, and he covered the whole length of the pitch to be there to get the touchdown. So that's what's required, and it was only O'Brien was forward. There was no other player in
there
line.
There wasn't, and that's just what we were saying earlier on, Miles. That is the difference. That, you know, if a break is made, you got to have the support there, because, as I said, the All Blacks are so good at defending. Once they make the tackle, they get players to the breakdown, and they have the ability, they can slow it down as well, or whatever, you know, what they want to do. But there's a lot of work to be done next Saturday, and it'll be very interesting to see the makeup of the team. I think one of the things, as we talked about it earlier on, was I think one of the problems in this team at the moment is the captaincy. Because, I mean, Warburton was picked as captain at the start of the tour. Very few people who would have picked, I mean, he had a reasonably good Six Nations, but he had given up the captaincy of Wales to concentrate on playing for Wales. So, you know, you give up the captaincy because you feel it's affecting you. Different names were thrown under the hat. Alan Wynne-Jones' name was in, Dylan Hartley, but I don't think Hartley, to be fair, was ever in the vein. Best was mentioned. You know, this sort of thing. But then O'Mahony was given the captaincy on Saturday, and quite honestly, I think he was the only person of the 15 that should have been captain. But then I couldn't understand why, as captain, Gatland takes O'Mahony off after 56 minutes and then brings Warburton on. I mean, he was the first virtually substitution he made. He also took Ben Teo off, who for me was the one guy was playing so well and actually had looked after Sonny Boy Williams very, very well. But it is this captaincy, because come next Saturday, a lot depends. If he plays Warburton will captain the team. Then does O'Mahony not even get on the bench, or is O'Mahony on the bench? And, you know, there's so many permutations. If he picks Best, does Best then take over the captaincy if O'Mahony's not there and Warburton's on the bench? There's, you know, there's nothing, and it's very, very important from leadership qualities. And it's one of the things, Miles, that, you know, from an Irish point of view and from an Ulster point of view, it has annoyed me in a sense that, yes, Best is captain aside in two midweek games, but even before the tour started, I would have thought that when you have an opportunity, when you're picking a captain or leave it open or whatever way you want to do it, there's only one player on that Lions tour who is captain aside who's beaten the All Blacks, and it's Rory Best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly so.
Well, you know, and he proved on the heat of Chicago, when we all know that the pressure was on, I mean, you know, he was the leader. He's proved himself last year with the Irish team out in South Africa. He has a great respect in the Six Nations. I mean, all the players are very, I know, appreciate him. But I'm not, I mean, it sounds that I'm trying to say that Best should be automatically in the team. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, Miles, is when you go on a tour of such a high quality and you don't have somebody who's a regular captain of a team and who's not playing well, it's very hard to slot him in. And secondly, it doesn't give the rest of the boys like CJ Stander a lot of confidence about how am I going to play? Am I going to get selected on merit, or am I going to get selected because somebody else doesn't fit?
Exactly. Well, call it, just briefly, call it for this Saturday. Can you see the British and Irish Lions beating the All Blacks?
Well, I'll put it this way, Miles, it's possible. But I think I have to be honest and say that the All Blacks can only get better. And, you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't help in New Zealand. It doesn't help whenever Gatland comes out and said they didn't play champagne rugby and they, you know, they were a bit boring to watch or whatever what he said. I think that sort of thing there is that only makes the New Zealanders even more confident about what they're going to do. And I think this thing about Gatland and Hansen. Hansen's in the pole position. He can say what he wants. But I think from Gatland's point of view, he did accept that we're beaten. I think he'll leave it at that. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, he talks about the Lions and he talks about the game. Forget about this psychology of trying to get at the All Blacks. The dogs in the street, no matter of any sporting team, the worst team to try and annoy is the All Blacks, because they have the ability to come back and make you bite your words.
They sure have. Okay, briefly, let's look at Ireland and Japan. Ireland on a three-game tour to America and to Japan. Beat Japan at the weekend, 35-13. Good result?
Good result, Miles. I mean, the Heat played the big, I think, in the second half was the thing. The game at 28-7 at half time, and or I think it was 28-5 or 28-7. But the thing was that it was great to see the results from that game. As you said, they won the three games. They beat the Americans 55-19, Japan 50-22, and 35-13. And when we think of how the Japanese did in the World Cup two years ago in Wales, it lets us see what's happened, and will also, of course, give the young Irish players a lot of confidence if they do make the Ireland squad for 2019. They've been to Japan, they've gone through the conditions, pardon me, and they've shown what they can do. From Joe Smith's point of view and from the Ireland point of view, three of the under-20 side from last year, I mean, young Jacob Stockdale from Ulster, he's played in two full games. James Ryan, the big second row, who looked an absolute star last year in the under-20s, Andrew Porter, the prop, they've all now got full international caps, and that's going to be great for the future, because those are positions, if we look at it, you know, wing, second row, and back, and prop, we're going to have to get, you know, those are important positions for young boys to come on, because Devin Toner's not going to last forever. Cian Healy's not going to keep going forever. So they need those sort of guys there. And, you know, Reece Ruddock will be absolutely delighted. It was good to see John Cooney, the scrum half. He only got a few, didn't get that long in the pitch. But this is the guy from Connacht who has signed for Ulster and will be attempting to fill the massive boots of Ruan Pienaar. But I've talked to quite a few Dublin guys when I've been down at games, and a lot of them might tell me that Cooney was very underrated, and that you know, in Leinster it was a case of maybe he just didn't fit, but they feel that Cooney, given a chance now at Ulster and a lot of game time, could be a very, very useful acquisition. And from Ulster's point of view, it means that he'd probably be available for all the games and not international, so it's good to see that he has got that opportunity. And the other statistic, I suppose, in the sense is that Jackson nailed 5 from 5 yesterday. He's now nailed 39 out of 40 and international matches, which is not a bad record, and that's going to help his game immensely, because that was one of the things that as an out half he was always wary about, his kicking, and it can affect it. Just when we're talking about out halves, we didn't mention, but it's going to be, when you ask me about that Lions thing, it's going to be very interesting who plays number 10 next week, because I mean, I saw some of the ratings in the papers today, and I can't remember who it was, gave Owen Farrell 8 out of 10. Well, I don't know what game he was watching. It certainly wasn't the same one as me. Johnny Sexton come on and did reasonably well, but it's not easy for an out half to come on whenever your point's down and when the pressure's on. That's going to be a big call, because, you know, before the tour started, I thought most rugby people thought it would be Johnny Sexton would be playing at 10 and possibly Farrell at 12. But with Teo and Williams playing so well, it didn't happen. But that's going to be a massive call, Miles, because, you know, the out-half position, because as we saw yesterday, Bowden Barrett, he just moved from out-half to full-back, and it made no difference to the All Blacks.
It sure didn't. Alec, appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Thank you very much indeed, and happy viewing during the week.
Well, hopefully we'll be more positive next week, Miles.
Hopefully. A Lions victory will do the job.